Welcome to the program. Actually, it's breakfast with James and Jimmy. We're here right up until 9 o'clock. The boys having a bit of a break over this busy period, and understandably so. You are encouraged to get in contact with the program on this Thursday morning, 1300 01 1170 0457 736 736. Now, a little observation from me this morning, and that is that I get in here and I get, it's a laptop type world for me. A younger generation, say, the missile comes in, it's all done off the phone. What's going on with that?
Yeah, on the phone, that's where I do all my emails, all my work, pretty much everything.
Everything. Do you have a laptop?
Yeah, I do have a laptop. I kind of save that for watching Netflix and stuff.
Ah. See, there's another thing.
Yeah.
I found out the other day that you could actually download Netflix programs onto your phone.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Unbelievable. Apparently it's been around for about 5 or 6 years, though.
What I've been doing recently is I'm setting up a gym. I'm about to open a gym, and we've got the bikes and the ski ergs and the rowers.
Yes.
They've got a little spot for your phone now above the display. So you can put Netflix on, sit it in there, and just sit on the bike and ride away, burn the calories for like an hour, and watch your favorite Netflix show.
Was that better than that machine we saw on
yes.
The Selling Channel?
The infomercials that are running here in the morning. I can't believe, I'd love to know, if any of our listeners out there have bought something recently off an infomercial,
yes,
text in or call us. Call us on 1300 01 1170 or text in 0457 736 736. Have you recently bought something off an infomercial? Because it's blowing my mind, Jimmy. I didn't know they were still running.
Well, can you answer me this? Have you ever bought anything from an infomercial?
I have.
Oh, really?
When I first left home about, we're going on 12 years ago now.
Yeah.
I bought two things off an infomercial.
Here we go.
Do you remember the stone pots and pans? They were the blue with the white fleck. It was stone no-stick pots and pans. I bought a set of those.
Okay.
And they actually worked.
So what were you walking past a television, or did you actually have it on?
Yeah, like, no, flicked on at home. I think what used to happen, we'd wake up, 4:30 of the morning before swimming training, flick on the TV, there's the pots and pans. Oh, I could do it for a set of pots and pans.
Perfect.
Second one didn't work as well. I bought a set of silk sheets. Of an infomercial.
This sounds to me like something after a world championship victory. Yeah. But anyway.
The Egyptian silk sheets.
What thread count?
Oh, it was high. It was high. They lasted about a year until I got a girlfriend. She moved in, and the first thing she did was throw out the silk sheets.
The Egyptian silk sheets.
Yep,
right.
Gone.
Okay, even with the high thread count. There you go.
What about you?
I've never ever bought anything. No.
But people, you were saying to me yesterday that there's stats showing that there's a lot of people buying things off these infomercials.
Oh, they're unbelievable. So there's all this other programming you could put on, but the television networks go, no, because this is more
crazy.
This is more lucrative for us.
Crazy.
The way they do it. So, let us know. I don't know how we got to this, but anyway, what did you buy on the infomercial? As we're surrounded by Wimbledon and infomercials, but apparently it works all major muscle groups, the one we're looking at.
You've got a gym.
Oh, that is very good. It's so much like 7-minute abs there. It's not funny, isn't it? All right, this is SEN Breakfast, I think. I don't know what we're doing at the moment. We're here in Sydney. We're doing an SEN track on the Central Coast and the Illawarra through 90.3 FM in Griffith. Anywhere around the world on the SEN app. And your SEN track down there at Canberra, 1323 AM. You better give us a shout out. Let us know what's going on, what the temperature is, what it feels like. As I mentioned, the open line, 1300 01 1170. That's all thanks to McDonald Jones. And then, of course, the text line, 0457 736 736. The podcasts are all available wherever you get your favourite podcasts. Search for Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. So, big show today. Brett Phillips coming up from Wimbledon. Some good results, some not so good results for the Aussies. Few upsets over the course of the 24 hours since we've been on air as well. Shaunie Ormerod from Sportsbet, NRL legend and Celebrity Apprentice winner. Thanks very much. Benji Marshall coming on to the program.
Did you catch any of that?
No, I didn't.
I just watched this little clip where he spoke about his upbringing.
Oh, yes.
And growing up without a father in his life and stuff. It was pretty touching stuff.
I think that was that the pitch to Stan
that yeah, they had something to about do, making a movie about your life. Yeah. I just caught, I saw it on my phone. I saw it online.
Of course,
just a clip of that section.
Yeah. Right next to the steak knives, apparently, that one. Wally, the stats man's going to tell us all the important stats leading into round 16 of the National Rugby League. And Michelle Bishop will be along not once, not twice, but three times during the course of
She's
the morning.
A workhorse.
Which we do look forward to. Big prize to give away, of course, sold out. That was the news that was coming through yesterday. The State of Origin Game 3 is sold out, but we have two State of Origin Gold Reserve tickets at Suncorp, pre- and post-match function, a night's accommodation in the Brisbane CBD, and two return flights to Sydney. For your chance to win, keep listening throughout the course of the day, and we'll give you your cue to call. In fact, that'll happen in the next couple of hours, won't it? So there you go. Give us the correct answer. You're in the draw, much like Lee yesterday, who went in the draw.
I think I might get a trip through that one.
What was her partner's name?
Bulldogs fan. I can't remember.
Who was liking the missile more than Lee, which is a little bit disconcerting for Lee. I'm available, Lee, if you wanted to. Anyway, separate issue. Righto, let's get into the topics of the day. James, Sean O'Sullivan. Oh, shock me. The son of Peter O'Sullivan, the recruitment officer at the Dolphins. However, according to reports, that's completely unrelated, that Sean O'Sullivan will get the opportunity to be the number seven for the Dolphins in their very first year next year.
They've finally got their marquee signing.
Or not so much. Look, with due respect to Sean O'Sullivan, he's a good player.
Yeah.
He's probably NRL class. He's never going to get an opportunity at the Penrith Panthers when Nathan Cleary's fit. So this is a good move.
Do you think for the Dolphins, so they've pretty much missed out on every big name player this year, right? But there's a couple coming off contract next year. So we've heard this week, Damien Cook, Matt Burton. Do you think next year's not a write-off, but they kind of just bank that one and then go for a big name player the following season?
I would underestimate Wayne at your peril.
Yeah, there's still time to get someone.
And I would also suggest that if you've signed someone for 24, that you could agitate strongly to work something out. The difficulty for the Dolphins is often when a club would do that, there'd be a swap.
Yeah.
They can't swap anyone because they're all brand new anyway.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the challenge around that one for the new team that's come in. And I know there's been some criticism in some quarters about how much time they've had to be able to build this squad. Remember when the AFL did it with AFL, with the Suns and the Giants, a massive concessions. Now they have a draft and they're able to use that mechanism to give them all these younger players. But and did it work? Did it not work? Certainly didn't work at the Suns. And you could put a big question mark about whether it worked at the Giants, given there's a fair few that as soon as they're outside of that first deal, they return home.
The talk on Munster has gone pretty quiet. I feel like if the NRL chipped in a little bit for Munster and he's their guy at the Dolphins, suddenly that would turn around all their recruitment. He's your marquee man.
But how do you reconcile that to the Melbourne Storm and say, oh, by the way, NRL said, by the way, Melbourne, we'll take Cameron.
Yeah.
That's not
fair. It's a
tough
one, isn't it?
That's not fair. And you're right. He's perfect for that new franchise. Queenslander, key position, star player, all of that. You get the sense that he would work really well under Wayne Bennett.
Absolutely.
But I think his form was so compelling. Like everyone said, oh, you know, he's not drinking anymore and all that sort of stuff and the rehabilitation and all that sort of stuff. You just got a sense, all right, well, this is just going to be a fabulous season for him. Oh. I thought he started slowly and then went bang.
That first Origin, he was amazing. Even the other night in a beaten side, I thought he was still their best player. He was rushing up in defence, disrupting Cleary, still dangerous with the ball. I'm hoping that AC joint injury keeps him out of game three just quietly.
I was going to say, with injury.
Yeah.
You know, he did all that with injury that happened early on in that second half. So, And I think that he's played so well and capped off by that State of Origin 1 performance.
Yeah.
Remember the Melbourne Storm offer was $750?
Yeah.
Well, they've just gone, well, it's just ridiculous. Let's start
ridiculous.
Again.
Ridiculous.
Let's start again. And I'm sure they have. Now they've got to make it work.
Yeah.
They've got to make it work from a salary cap point of view, knowing that they've got Harry Grant on a big contract, Ryan Pappenhausen on a big contract, and Jerome Hughes
Crazy.
On a big contract.
Yeah. At least all your money's in your spine, but It's a lot of money to spend.
Do you reckon there's a change of that? This is a separate issue, but it's also related to the fact that Joey Manu looks like he's going to be playing at the 5/8 position for the Roosters against the Panthers. How much money should you put in your spine players? Like, what percentage of your cap?
Oh, I'd be saying at least 30-40% in those four players.
Yeah. Yeah. And then cross your fingers and hope they stay healthy.
Pretty much, yeah. I how much would Manu be on at the Roosters? Five, sixes?
Keep
as
going.
A centre? More.
Keep going. I think they pay him very well because they know at times he'll have to play fullback and at times there's, like now, he's going to play 5/8.
Do you think he's wasted at centre based off what we saw last weekend in the rep round?
I think what he's been able to do, it's a very good question. I think what he's been able to do is inject himself into games as a centre, but not typical of all other centres. Like he goes looking for the ball a little bit more. There was a game last year where he played on the wing. Remember they put him on the wing in one of those games? Yeah. And he ran for over 300 metres because he was able to leave his wing and come in and do that sort of second fullback role. And that was at the time when there was no Keary, and so Tedesco was playing like a first receiver.
I like this move. I really think Sam Walker's an out-and-out halfback. Yeah. I think he struggles when he plays second fiddle to Keary. I thought his form in the back half of last year leading into the finals, when I'm sure Trent Robinson had said to him, "This is your team," I thought he looked really confident.
Yes.
It looks like he's been second-guessing himself a little bit this year. I love him at halfback and Manu at 5/8. There was talk on NRL 360 last night about Luke Keary, about whether he may be done, whether he's overthinking it. Apparently the doctors have said there's no medical issue that they can detect, but it's obviously in his head because he's said, "I'm not ready to come back yet." As a player, if you start thinking about head knocks and worrying about the future, how much does that affect your confidence?
Oh, enormously. Any athlete on any injury, but in particular that one.
Yeah.
Right.
So because if you're going into contact and you're almost anticipating a head knock, it must be just a tough game to play.
So think about it this way too. You've had a long history of concussions that has put your career in question. I remember he had the 6 weeks out 2 years ago.
Yeah,
I think in his very first test match, he got knocked out cold in the first 2 minutes and basically didn't take any further part in that.
Yep.
Combined with the fact that two of your respected leaders that you followed for so long in Boyd Cordner and Jake Friend have both also said, "Yep, I'm a little concerned about this and I'm going to retire."
Yeah. This is an interesting question. My girlfriend asked me this last night. So the Roosters have had multiple people now retire from head knocks.
Yes.
Are the Roosters just an unlucky club, or are they the most honest club where they're coming out and saying, "Our players have a problem and this can't go on"?
Ooh, it's a good question.
It is, isn't
it? It's a good question.
Yeah, because they can't be the only club that's having this problem.
So here's the other thing. Identify those players at other clubs who you think, "Oh, hang on."
Well, there's only one that came to mind, and that was Richie Feioso.
Okay.
He was suffering terrible head knocks. He was at a number of different clubs. I think he finished up at Parramatta. But a couple of the times I was watching him play and he was getting knocked out off the kickoff, and then he'd come back on, he'd stagger. And he seemed like he'd gone years past what he should have.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you, what about current players? What about players? I've got two in mind. They're
at
the same club.
Let me think about it in the break.
Wade Graham.
Ooh, good one.
Wade Graham. So he's had, here's the further interesting part about it. There's another player at his club. I think Dale Finucane has had a number of concussions.
Recently.
Right?
Yep.
And here's the interesting part about that.
Yep.
Craig Fitzgibbon is the coach who's come from the Roosters system, seen it firsthand.
Yeah.
So you would think all the care that the Roosters show would be transferred into all the care. And here's the challenge. What if you don't do it? What if you say, no, they're right to play?
Mm.
Are they right to play and that's perceived the right way? Or is it, that they're not showing the care for the athlete that the Roosters do?
Yeah, it's a really touchy subject, isn't
very
it?
Very much so.
Yeah.
And it's a very individual subject too.
Yep.
But, you know, James Graham, he was desperate to sign a waiver. Let me play. I don't care.
Yeah.
Let me play. But there are others who and he said, I don't care about the long-term impacts.
Yeah.
That might change now. that he stopped playing.
Yeah. Well, when you retired, it's when you're competing, you think that's your whole life.
It is.
You?
It is.
But then you retire and you go, I've got more than another lifetime to live.
Yeah. You're only just getting started.
It's crazy, isn't it? But when you're an athlete, you're so laser focused, you don't think about that next 40 years of your life.
Do you remember the back rower who played for the Raiders and the Dragons, Josh Miller from Forbes?
I do.
Right.
Yep.
So even then, when we didn't know much about concussion, I used to think to myself, this bloke is too brave for his own good.
Yeah.
He would get concussed regularly and come back onto the field. He was unbelievably brave and too brave for his... for his own well-being. But there you go. I don't. We got onto that subject, but it's an interesting one, and it's not straightforward. So Luke Keary out, Joey Manu to 5'8". Panthers are still going to be, I won't say impossible to beat, but very tough to beat out there at Bluebet Stadium. So, interesting to see what happens with Luke Keary. I think for every person that's a Roosters fan that will be happy that Joey Manu's into the halves, we'll be concerned that Paul Momorowski is into the three-quarter line. So there's a little payoff with that one as well. Manly v Melbourne tonight. You'll hear it on 1170 SEN, NRL Nation there for that one. Did you see the data on head-to-head, Bellamy and Hasler? 17 apiece.
Wow. That must be the best record against Bellamy, is it?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
The mad scientist, he loves it.
Yeah. And I think the game points differential is works out. It's like 1.4 points overall. So it's the winning team, the average winning margin, 0.7.
So good.
And isn't that amazing when you consider 40-0 when that was going head to head? We had some test cricket. Well, I was going to say overnight, but it was yesterday afternoon, wasn't it? Flicked it on last night. How good to see Davey Warner batting in the floppy. You see him in the Greg Chappell floppy? Yeah.
Really?
No helmet.
Just because
I think they bowled one over, the seamers, and then it was on with the spinners.
All spinners.
Well done, Nathan Lyon. He's taken his 20th fifer.
How good.
He's amazing, the GOAT. He's gone past Sir Richard Hadley, who was my favourite cricketer as a kid growing up, on the all-time wicket-takers list, 432. So I think he's 12th on that list, and he's only one behind Rangana Harith. So he'll go past him probably this test match as well. Mitch Swepson, 3 for 55 from his 13 overs. But Australia in reply, 3 for 98. Could have been 2 for, could have been 1 for. But we had this.
Van der Sar striking Smith on the pad. And we might have a run out here. Smith diving back in. He's short. He's short of his ground. The Sri Lankans are celebrating. Smith has been sent back by Usman Khawaja. He's got mud and dust caked down the front of his white test shirt, and he's gesticulating to nobody in particular about how annoyed he is. Palms up to the sky, he's shaking his head, and Stephen Smith has been run out for 6. He hit him on the pad, Khawaja started to go, he called Smith down and then abandoned the run. Smith turns back, and that was pretty clearly Usman Khawaja's fault.
Test cricket on SEN. I'm not sure he was gesticulating wildly at no one in particular. I think it was very clear who he was gesticulating wildly at. Usman, the old yes, no, wait, sorry. Steve Smith, not happy with that. And fair enough too. It actually might even provide a little bit of a talk topic for us today. When has your teammate let you down? Might it just be your team. It might be another instance. Famously in Australian sport, I don't know whether someone ran a slow leg in a relay at one stage.
We've had a few.
I don't know whether you want to name names, but you know that's. I'm gonna nominate the late great Shane Keith Warne.
Right.
1999, first test, fifth day against India, and he knocks on one at first slip. Damien Fleming going for a second career test hat trick. And he dropped it. It was not that deep. It was almost regulation, and Warney knocked it on. Yeah, we're doing it. Missile and Jimmy, all thanks to Brighton's. Pick one NRL winner each week. For the chance to win $2,500, head to sensurvivor.com.au, and that is all thanks to Brighton's lawyers as well. You got it from this round, round 16. You got to pick one, and it can't be Penrith.
Absolute specials this weekend. The Warriors, first game at home in almost 3 years. They will smash the West Tigers.
Oh,
heard
great
it
time.
First.
Poor old Tigers.
I know.
Just can't get their timing
poor
right.
Poor Noddy. Just come back to SEM. Forget about that coaching rubbish.
Oh, the nod. Kennard Hire makes your job easy. Call your local branch today. Michelle Bishop on the line. Michelle, are you ready to deliver your first sports update of the morning?
Ken Oath.
Oh, well done. Nicely done. Nicely done.
Good morning.
Morning to you, Michelle. We were talking about the cricket and Australia in a dominant position. Could have been more dominant if Usman Khawaja didn't come up with the yes, no, wait, sorry call for Steve Smith. How'd you see that one?
Steve Smith, an unhappy camper, still in Gaul this morning. And he's fuming, obviously, after the incident. He hasn't reached triple figures in 11 tests, so I'm sure that was kind of in his head this time, right, this is me, this is where I'm going to go. But his white shirt was covered in dirt. It was absolutely caked on. He was pointing furiously at Usman Khawaja when his dive to save himself came up short. Sent for six. Now, it appears, as you're discussing, they'd agreed to a quick single, but Khawaja just had a bit of a change of mind just midway through. And I guess the rest is history. But I bet they didn't sit next to each other in the team bus going home.
No.
Like he's not captain
anymore. Yeah, because the captain's on the selection team, aren't they?
Mm, I think
absolutely.
They've changed
that. Can you imagine the grovelling today? Did you want a coffee? Guys, the Aussies won the toss. Sri Lanka was rolled for 212. Spinners Nathan Lyon and Mitchell Swepson shed 8 wickets between them. But Nathan Lyon bagged his 20th 5-wicket haul in tests. Swepson took 3 for 35. Gee, Nathan Lyon's, been really impressive. In reply, Australia raced to none for 47. Khawaja and Travis Head, they survived some real nervous moments, but ended up on 3 for 98 at stumps. And, of course, earlier, Dave Warner was removed for 35, minus Lumbershane 13. And as I said, Smith on a very lonely 6. And, yeah, can you imagine the groveling today? Wow.
Awkward.
Michelle, in that inner sanctum.
Joey Johns has put his support behind a player that he says Freddie Fittler cannot leave out of the Origin decider.
This is really interesting. I know we've sort of discussed this extensively yesterday, the whole Origin selection, but overnight Andrew Johns has gone all out to support one player in particular, saying he must be retained. We've seen Freddie, not be afraid to make changes. It's not a given that he's going to stick with the same side. He had 7 changes after the loss last time. But Andrew Johns has said that he feels really sorry for Jack Whiten at the moment, missing Sunday's win because of COVID. That's just unfortunate. But Matty Burton has the gift, and that's the gift of being in the right place at the right time. He absolutely oozes class. He does things you can't coach. He's also now in Queensland's head, which I found particularly interesting because that's absolutely where he is. His spiral kicks are just a handful. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this all plays out. And another big call that Joey made in a piece that he did overnight was the Felice Kaufusi binning. He didn't agree with it. He said, I could see that happening at the NRL level, but in Origin level, it's not something, that he found particularly, the right way to go, which I thought was a big call.
Yeah.
Call.
Damned if you do and damned if you don't, if you're Ashley Klein. Mm-hmm. So you work out that. Maybe those meetings with Fred during the course of the week actually worked in Fred's favour.
Book a meeting, Billy Slater.
Yeah.
Now.
I would go back to the Matty Burton thing. If he's the gifted one that, turns up at the right place at the right time, how do you end up at the Bulldogs in 2022? Oh, sorry, Miss Ol. You just left yourself exposed there.
All part of the journey, guys. All part of the journey. What's going to make him a champion.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Hey, I watched the highlights of Ben Hannett versus Justin Hodges.
Did you call them highlights?
Well, yeah, actually, all right. I watched extended parts of the boxing bout. What about when they went to touch gloves after
they'd
been in
punched him.
Hodges just punched him.
Yeah, he'd been watching a bit too much Floyd Mayweather.
It was like, hang on a minute, champ. Yeah, I have to apologise because I stayed up last night to watch it. I watched nearly every fight, so it was full on. But I want to talk about Liam Wilson. He survived a pretty epic 10-round slog, obviously defeating Argentinian Matias Ruda by unanimous decision. And the victory means for Wilson, he's the new WBO International Super Featherweight Champion, and it puts him into the top 2 in that WBO ranking. But guys, as I say, the undercards last night, 3 in particular. One guy to watch out for, former Olympic boxer Paulo Acuso from Mount Druitt in Sydney. He beat Robert Burridge. It was unbelievable. The guy survived basically 2 knockouts. It was brutal. He's really good friends with the Penrith connection there in the NRL, Jerome Luai and Brian To'o. You have to ask, what's in the water out at Mount Druitt? I'm getting out there to drink it. The athletes that they are producing, it's unbelievable. You've touched on the NRL players, Justin Hodges and Ben Hannett, already. Certainly not a lot of boxing prowess on display, but, gee, it was entertaining. And Justin Hodges, geez, he goes all right.
He's called our gal.
Absolutely he has, but I'm not convinced that he'd come out the right side of that one.
No.
But for mine, the women's bout, I'm not sure if you caught this, it was a first round TKO. Shannon O'Donnell, she defeated Sarah Higgins in the bantamweight bout. O'Connell is something else. She's called out another boxer, apparently someone who's been, you know, dodging her for some time, Ebony Bridges, and I quote, "I will punch holes in her." I was scared just watching it on the television. She was unbelievable. Dad said, if one of these women called me out, I'd produce an Olympic sprint time. Attractive, fit, but very intimidating. It was a great night. Well done to No Limits Boxing.
Ebony Bridges is a world champ. Oh, she won a world champ.
She did, world title.
Absolutely. And Paulo Acuzzo, I saw him fight. Was he on the Harry Garside card?
Yeah, I think he was highly impressive.
Yeah. Really, really impressive. Good on you, Michelle. Thank you. We'll chat again next hour.
Can I will be back.
There you go. Thank you. It's Michelle Bishop. Another big night. No, we're not in a break, mate. We're just going straight to Brett now. So put your headphones back on.
Oh, we're not in a break.
Put your headphones back on, miss. Oh, gee, you relaxed nicely there too, didn't you? Brett Phillips is on the line, SEN's resident tennis expert. Let's start. Andy Murray out against John Isner. This would have been disappointment for the All England club.
Well, disappointment, but what a match. I mean, 72 years combined in age on court today, Jimmy. 37-year-old John Isner, 35-year-old Andy Murray.
Just going 37.
Into battle. What a battle. And for John Isner, I mean, he could have been in AFL, he could have been a great tap ruckman if he hadn't played tennis. 208 centimetres, but he had never beaten one of the big four. He was 0-6 against the big four, 6-33 overall against Federer, Djokovic, Nadal and Murray. A place where, of course, he won the longest ever match in the history of tennis back in 2010 that went 11 hours. Made a semi in 218, which is his best Grand Slam result. And then at 37, he hasn't had too many opportunities to play on centre court at Wimbledon. He serves 36 aces today. So he's four now, just four shy of the most aces in the history of tennis, which is big Ivo Karlovic, the now retired Croatian, over 13,000 aces across his career. So John will get that blindfolded in the next match. And for a guy that size, he's volleying today, getting down, little half volleys off his toes. He moved like a 21-year-old, and it silenced the British crowd in the end. And Andy Murray does depart. I think we'll probably see him back. But, yeah, John Isner, a great story. Been a very popular player, the big American, wherever he's gone around the world. And that'll be one moment I reckon he'll cherish for a long time.
So I'm looking at him, BP. You're 37 years of age. He's ranked 24 in the world. He's got a career high of 8 that he achieved in 2018. Mm-hmm. So he was 33 years of age. Is that the oldest player with a career high of that height? Like, I can't believe that it took him that long to get to his highest ranking.
Yeah, you could be on the money there. I haven't got that exactly in front of me. But, look, he's had a really, really solid career. For a long time there, he was sort of in that 10 to 20 bracket, which a lot of players can get stuck in. And it's a great place to be, where a lot of players would love to be. But because sometimes, you know, the top 10 is so good, it's hard to crack in. And he did have that 1 year where he obviously made the semis of Wimbledon and a few other good results that got him inside the top 10. And he's been able to stay consistently inside that top 30 pretty much all his career. So he's been a model of consistency, from the time he picked up a racket. You know, he made his Wimbledon debut, I think, back in 2007. And, you know, that's a great career. I mean, you mightn't win a Grand Slam, but if you've won a hell of a lot more matches than you've lost, he's made a very tidy earn from the sport, and he can hold his head pretty high.
Yeah.
Now, overnight, Thanasi Kokkinakis, the cock, he's got a lesson from Novak.
Yeah, it was over pretty quick, James, to be honest. Look, he would have been, you know, really pumped up and keen to take on Djokovic, but this is what Djokovic does to you. Within the blink of an eye in a match, he can just take it away, and suddenly he's broken your serve. He's 3-1 up, and, you know, you're looking at the scoreboard thinking, gee, I'm already behind the eight ball, and it's only the, you know, the opening stanza of the game. And that's where it was for Fanasi. Once, you know, Djokovic had that first set under his belt, he's a pretty good front runner and wasn't going to get beaten. And, yeah, it's just, you know, it's weight of shot. It's just discipline to, you know, keep getting balls back all the time. And Fanasi just couldn't quite go with him today. He just built the pressure, as he so often does, Novak. So, yeah, that was a big step up from his first round, where he, of course, dropped a set. So I think he'll just keep getting better and better, Novak.
Carlos Alcaraz has a win, continues his rise and rise. What's grass like as a surface for Carlos?
Well, you know, this is the thing, Jimmy. I mean, he keeps telling us he's trying to figure it out. I mean, he looks as comfortable on the grass as he looks on the clay and in a hard court. I mean, the guy's an absolute superstar. At 19 years of age, firmly entrenched in the top 10. I mean, his game actually suits grass because he's naturally aggressive, so he gets value for shot, and he has a natural, it's in his DNA to come forward all the time. So if you're coming forward on grass, it's made for the, you know, the great volleyers, and he's got every shot in the book. He's just, I mean, I've never seen anyone more impressive as a young tennis player, and just he gets microphone in hand, he engages with the crowd so well, handles the media beautifully. It's just, can we adopt him? Bring him over here.
What, you're not happy with Kyrgios? Who's Kyrgios got in his second round matchup?
He has got Filip Krajinovic, Serbian, who's seeded about 25, 26. So that's a winnable match, winnable. No doubt. They were supposed to play doubles today, Kokkinakis and Kyrgios. Mm-hmm. That got pushed back to tomorrow. So it could be the singles doubles combination. But ooh, yeah, we'll see what Nick.
Am I right in saying Kyrgios claimed that he's the best player in the world on grass? Did I read that somewhere?
Yeah, he's probably, certainly, you know, he's indicated in very confident tones that, you know, he can beat anyone. And that is fact. I mean, he can. Yeah. He can do anything out there as long as he stays engaged. And that's always the challenge across seven matches in a Grand Slam.
Hey, we had a listener yesterday. I'm trying to remember who it was, BP, but they asked a really good question. If you're a Lions person or a chair umpire, are you happy that you're in a Nick Kyrgios match or going, oh, no?
Oh, I'm sure that would be the latter, I'm sure, would come into play when they're doing the rosters, Jimmy. No doubt, because you just don't get off scot-free, don't you? You're in the firing line. I mean, number one, actually, who would want to be a Lions person? I think it's probably the worst job, one of the worst jobs you could have. I hope they're well paid because, you know, the speed of ball now in the modern game, gee, it's hard to see those balls, whether they hit the line or they go out. You've got to have a razor-sharp vision, which Nick was sort of pointing out, that most of the Lions people are, you know, looking like they're sort of 60, 70, 80 beyond, where your vision maybe isn't as flash as when you're a little younger. But, yeah, not the job I'd want, that's for sure.
Nah, exactly. Could be worse. Could be a rugby league referee. But anyway, hey, what about this? Brett Phillips there. All thanks to Australasian Academy of Tennis Coaches, providing quality coach education across the globe. Inquire and enrol at aatc.tennis. We got there, BP.
We got there.
Beautiful stuff. Couldn't have said it any better than myself.
Thank you, mate. Enjoy a bit of a break, and then we'll speak again tomorrow.
I look forward to it. Thank you, guys.
Brett Phillips, our SEN tennis expert, as we said, from aatc.tennis. Okay, if I win Celebrity Apprentice 2, I'll take you somewhere as well. Oh, hang on, that's our next guest, Benji Marshall. He's on the line. G'day, Benj.
Oh, boy. Celebrity Apprentice, huh?
You had a swimmer on the show with you, Benji, Bronte Campbell.
Yeah, I love Bronte. She was such a nice person, but she was actually, I thought she got voted off earlier than she should have, because she was, like, out of everyone, I think she was probably the smartest. She had me covered anyway, but she made me look good in the final. I brought her back to help me, and without her, I don't know if I would have won.
Yeah, she's a nice girl, Bronte.
Ah, very smart. Hey, by the way, we're here to catch up about the Benji Marshall on Monday nights. Every episode of the show, Benji, is going to be available on KO Freebie. So that's fantastic. How have you been enjoying it, Benj, having your own show?
Oh, it's tough. I'll be honest, it's hard, man. Like, when I retired from footy, I didn't expect to be hosting a show. That was it's quite different. You know, I was actually a little bit rattled at the start. Like, it's been, you know, from where it was at the start to where it is now, I feel like I've gotten better. But it's like when you ride a bike for the first time. It's just, it's weird and it's awkward, and it's honestly felt like that for ages. So the longer it has gone on, the more comfortable I've gotten. But geez, got a long way to go, Jimmy. Honestly, it's hard work. Live TV.
Yeah. Did you watch anything else? Did you, whether it be domestically or internationally, and whether it's humorous or anything? Did you watch anything and say, "Oh, okay, I want to try and find a style or some techniques that you like"?
Well, no, because it sort of got sprung on us, sort of, with only sort of 3 or 4 weeks to go before the season, and they decided that we're going to do it. And then it's just been sort of working out what sort of works, you know, what sort of show it's going to be. We're sort of still figuring that out at the moment, to be honest. You know, but I feel like we're starting to find a bit of a groove, getting to know the players a bit more personally, more than the footy side of things. And I guess, you know, everyone, well, they think they know the players from watching them on the footy field. And then when they come on my show, I sort of try and bring out the other side of them that people don't get to see, you know, a bit more relaxed, a bit more podcast sort of style chatting, which is hard to try and do. So you got to get to know the players quite well before you can break those sort of barriers. So it's been challenging, but at the same time, like, it's been great getting to know all the boys.
So are you telling us you didn't try and model your interviewing techniques off Buzz Rothfield on NRL 360?
Oh, look, no, I did try. He's my inspiration, Buzz. On there, so that's thanks for that.
You've basically had the who's who of rugby league on the show. Yeah. The guest list has been unbelievable. Who's been your favourite or your best guest on the show so far?
Oh, I mean, yeah, look, I guess I'm lucky that I have to reach out to the boys personally and try and ask them to come on the show, you know, and to be fair, almost all of them have said yes, and been up for it and then been willing to help out, which has been fantastic. But I mean, it's hard to pinpoint one favorite, but I reckon I had Latrell Mitchell on maybe 2 weeks ago. And for me, just getting to see everyone else to see the side of Latrell that I get to see when I played with him was nice to, because I don't think a lot of people get to see Latrell talking about how important women are in his life, and just the dad side of Latrell. We only see the footballer side where he's quite a beast and quite like aggressive, you know. So it was nice to break down those barriers and see him talk openly about himself and his family, which, that's what I'm enjoying, you know. So I'm going to try and keep running down that road a bit.
Yeah, no, that's the really fascinating part about it too. So people having to reveal parts of themselves that people didn't previously know, which is exactly what you did in Celebrity Apprentice. How did you find that process, Benji? With, I think it was the pitch to Stan that James has been talking about a lot, about not knowing your father growing up. You know, when you look back at it, for example, were you comfortable with it or did it make you uncomfortable?
Yeah, no, very comfortable with it. At the time, it was very hard to find the courage to talk about a lot of those things. I mean, you know, and it's a story that I've never really told to anyone, you know, and I guess I'm just in a position now where I'm comfortable with where I'm at. And, you know, I guess the other part of it is, as men, you know, I don't want to get too deep, but as men, we don't often share enough our vulnerabilities or express how we're feeling or show emotion or vulnerability. And, you know, to be able to do that for me, I guess it was organic, but the way it was received from other men who have since reached out and said, "Hey, thanks for being so vulnerable," you know, it's made me feel comfortable to be the same. I guess that you get a lot out of that. So
yeah.
I don't regret any of that, Jimmy. And you know, I was myself filming that show the whole time. So it is what it is, really.
Yeah.
Now you're in the reality TV game. What's next? Are we seeing you in the jungle? Are we seeing you on the dance floor? Are you going to have a mask on singing?
Yeah, look, probably not. I think I've done my dash you know, just go out with the crown and just say see you later to reality TV, I think.
It's not a bad one, Celebrity Apprentice, I reckon, just from watching bits and pieces. Yeah. Like, there's not too much manufactured drama or anything like that. It came across pretty well, I thought.
Yeah, no, well, that's the thing. Like, I was always going to be myself. I promised myself that I was never going to buy into any drama and stuff. And it's testing, man, because there's people who go on there legitimately to try and be famous and, you know, try and cause a stir to get traction on their social media or whatever. I was there for, like, charity, and I was there to make as much money for charity as possible. And, you know, that's why I said yes to that show. But, yeah, you probably won't find me saying yes to many others, let me be fair.
I'm going to go a little off topic here, but we've got a World Cup coming up at the end of the year. That New Zealand squad that they put together for the game against Tonga, they're a red-hot shot of winning the World Cup, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it's... you know, it's a big call, but I think it's probably the best New Zealand squad I think we've put together. And looking at the World Cup this year, I reckon it's probably the best 30-man squad we're going to field possibly of all time. You know, which is nice. You know, I think our spine, we got Jerome Hughes, Dylan Brown, the Cheese, Brandon Smith, and also Joseph Manu played at fullback and was unbelievable. You know,
yeah.
I think that's possibly the best spine New Zealand's ever named as a group and a collective. So that helps winning games, but as you boys know, Australia, England, Tonga, they're going to be tough to beat. And when you get to a World Cup in the UK, like playing England in the UK is a different beast. It's loud. You can't hear anything. The fans are all over you. Like, it's just completely different. So, yeah, it's nice to have a strong team, but you still got to go there and you got to go and win it. You know, you can't just expect, oh, we got a nice team. We're going to get there and it's going to be easy. It's going to be a tough World Cup. You know, and if the boys go into it looking that way, training hard, preparing like it is going to be tough, then... they'll go a long way towards winning, but there's a lot of teams they have to beat first.
That's a big statement from a 2008 World Cup winner with the Kiwis, Benji Marshall. So the other thing about it is, Benj, to think about it, at the back end of last year, you were playing in a grand final, and the obvious extension to that would have been being part of Michael Maguire's squad for the Rugby League World Cup. Do you feel like that's the one that got away?
Oh, well, look, I did have it in my sights at the end of last year until it got postponed.
Yeah.
It was something that I was sort of maybe looking at retiring on, you know, like I retired on the grand final. That was pretty good. But I mean, it would have been nice to represent New Zealand one last time and have a crack at a World Cup. I've only played in one World Cup. That was 2008. And that's the only one I've been able to win. So, yeah, that would have been nice to me. But at the end of the day, like, you know, I finished on my terms. I'm pretty happy with that. I'll still support the Kiwis to the death. I'm actually going to be over there for the World Cup, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, fantastic. Hey, this is a big game this weekend too. It's an amazing one. You'll be able to give us some insight. So it's exciting for the Warriors to go back and play their first home game in 1,038 days. It's not so exciting to be the West Tigers to go over there and have to play them, Benj.
Yeah, well, yes and no. I mean, like, you're going back to a team that's probably going to find a lot of emotion and a lot of reasons to play. But the thing with, like, emotion, and I've always said it, like, emotion lasts 15 minutes at the start of the game, and then if you can weather the storm at the start, and this is for the Tigers, if they weather that storm, that the Warriors come out flying and they defend everything, they just apply pressure, when that emotion goes out the window, you fall back to habits that you've had. And unfortunately for the Warriors and the Tigers, they both haven't been playing as well as they want to be. So if you weather that storm at the start and you can find to keep the crowd out of it, it goes a long way towards winning. But yeah, it's going to be a tough game against the Warriors. But I think the Tigers can win this week,
Yeah. Have you been? Oh, I'm sorry, we ran out of time. I wanted to ask you anyway. Hey, mate, great to have you on, Benj. Celebrity Apprentice, and keep going with that show of yours. It's great.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.